Hi, this is Rob Jonas with Musings on Systems Change, another episode where we're going to talk about green capitalism, beyond green capitalism. Last time, in the last episode, we talked about structural changes that are needed for the economy to improve. And so today we're going to talk a little bit more about what those structural changes may entail. First, we want to mention that democracy is important. Yes, it is important. Political democracy, a single vote every 2 to 4 years, but it's not enough. We also need economic democracy, and that is what is missing in the economy today, which means people's ability to create and manage their own economic destiny on a day-to-day basis from the grassroots up. This is very, very important as a balance against political democracy, because we have seen again and again how political democracy is co-opted by the rich, by the wealthy, by money, and so on. And therefore, what is really important is economic democracy, not just simply economic changes or reforms, but rather economic structural change through economic democracy. So we need an economy that is need-based, not greed-based. An economy that measures its economic health on how well it delivers people's basic needs. That's how we measure the health of the economy, not GNP, not gross national product, because building jails will increase the gross national product. But it will not really tell us whether the economy is healthy or not. So we need a different way of measuring. All right, an economy that measures its economic health and how well it delivers people's basic needs is what we want. How high our purchasing capacity and real income is, not on how high the GNP is or the GDP is. Economic health should be measured by growth and sustainability from the bottom up rather than from the top down as it is today. The GDP says nothing, as I mentioned, about the economic health of the average citizen or about the sustainability of an economy. It simply measures the total output of the economy. Even if these outputs lead to negative growth, more crime, more industrial pollution, and so on and so forth, as I mentioned. So this is a very important distinction here. These structural economic changes are the greatest need in today's economy, and they will take place either through popular pressure and eventual legislation, or through some kind of economic and environmental crisis, which we are facing as we speak. And it is most likely that it will happen through both, through pressure, demonstrations, protests, and at the same time, through the crisis that we are seeing unraveling before our eyes. We are now in the middle of the COVID-19 crisis, and the bad economy, the crisis economy, hasn't started to hit yet. Yes, many people are affected, but the real problem hasn't started to show yet, because we're living in an artificial economy where the stock market is going up, but the real economy is soon going to face the music, so to speak. And that will be unfortunate. At the same time, it will give us the opportunity to make changes. So crisis also brings hope and the possibility of renewal. Today, perhaps more than at any other time in the history of capitalism, business favored the short term over the long term. Corporations have no qualms about producing an appliance that will break down or need to be replaced in a few years, rather than producing a product that will last. That's how the capitalist system works. That's how profit economy works. Short-term outcomes win the day in most every case. And there is no sector more keenly attuned to this than the financial sector. This sector, which today is one of the main drivers of our profit-based economy, is the largest stumbling block to a sustainable world. This is really important to understand. The financial market has the shortest planning horizon of any part of the economy. It measures progress in nothing but profit. In a matter of seconds, financial speculators can change their balance sheet wealth by the billions. That's how fast it happens. Recently, we have seen how Amazon has made Jeff Bezos a trillionaire because of the crisis that we're in, because so many people are shopping their goods through Amazon. Hence, we cannot just patiently wait until this part of the economy responds more ethically, more sustainably, because that is very, very unlikely. It has to be controlled and changed by legislation and by restructuring. A profit-based sustainable economy is therefore an oxymoron. It has never existed and it never will exist. The power in today's society lies with the large corporations and those individuals who have accumulated wealth. Therefore, until the distribution of that wealth changes and real power is transferred into the hands of the people, the chance of any meaningful reform in environmental policies taking place is very, very, very unlikely. This is the primary reason that we have placed green solutions after economic democracy, because we need to change the economic structure before we can really deal with the green solutions. Now, people are talking kind of superficially about, yes, we want the green economy, yes, we want sustainability, and so on and so forth. But what is really important is that the structure of the economy needs to change. Otherwise, we're just putting a band-aid on the problem. We're not going to solve the issues. And that is very, very important, I think, to understand. So for long-term sustainability to take hold in society and in the economy, the reforms suggested here will have to be implemented. In other words, structural reforms will have to, and we're going to talk about that more in other podcasts. So this kind of deep system change is imperative. The absence of this kind of system change is the main stumbling block to long-term sustainability. So what is one of the main structural changes? This is what I think it is. It's called decentralization. We need decentralized economy, an economy based on long-term planning. We need to think seven generations ahead, as the Native American said. Once we have a decentralized economy where no entity is so large that it can single-handedly impose its will on the rest of the people, new considerations can be introduced in economic planning. Profit does not need to be the sole motive any longer. Quality of life issues, cultural development, and the preservation of the environment in the interest of future generations will then become obvious considerations. We can then, as I just mentioned, as the Native American said, make plans for the long term. We can then much more easily implement large-scale ecological industrial design programs, such as the cradle-to-cradle designs that is mentioned in William McDonough's book, Cradle to Cradle. It's a very important book. William McDonough and Michael Braungart wrote that book. It's a wonderful concept. However, those kinds of concepts will not change the world if we operate just within business as usual, within the corporate capitalist structure as we have. They need to be matched up with the structural change in the economy. This is crucial for real systems change. Industry will then become a reflection of and partner with nature rather than being its enemy. So in other words, we need to create an eco-economy by restructuring the economy, not just by simply say, oh, you know, we need to talk to the capitalists, the rich, to do some good. It's not enough. Economic democracy and a network of decentralized local economies will by themselves have many positive effects on the environment, including a huge reduction in energy for transport and production and in reducing pollution. But there will still be environmental challenges, even in an economic democracy. Therefore, we'll have to always be vigilant in pursuing policies that minimize pollution and utilize resources in a sustainable manner. And this is what is necessary. So I just wanted to mention this as one of the crucial and most important aspects of changing our system as it is now, to make deep system changes by making deep structural changes in the economy through decentralization, through economic democracy, which means that the purchasing capacity of people will be the measure of economic health, which means that when people, the poorest in society, have enough and is able to move into a better lifestyle, that is healthy economics, not what the people on the top make, not what the GNP is saying that the health of the economy is. So these are some very fundamental changes that we need to make. And then, of course, as I mentioned, we need to plan for the seventh generation, and we need to see the economy as part of nature so that we get an eco-economy that play by the rules of nature. Because in nature, there is nothing is lost in nature, and there are no systems in nature that is polluting the way we do now, because in nature everything is recycled, and we need to create an ecological economy where everything goes back into the cycle. So with that, I want to conclude my system change talk for today. Another Musings on System Change by Roar Vianas. And I want to thank you for listening. And I hope you come back next time and listen to the next podcast, where I'm going to talk more about what these system changes can be about on an individual level and also on a societal, economic, and political level as well. So we're going to go into that in some more detail. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful rest of your day and week.